Bless her. Bless her. Praise God. You know, God is a good God. He'll never fail you in any way. He's a good God. He's a good God. You know, during the week, I kept thinking about Sunday service last Sunday. Just the mighty move of the Spirit of God upon this place, people. You know, we had people, four people get saved. I mean, we had somebody walk in off the street that heard the music that just was drawn in by the Spirit of God, and just people praying with them and just God moving. And so, you know, that's the deal. God's Spirit wants to move. God is looking for just willing vessels, willing people to let him move, to let him move mightily upon the earth. Can you imagine the God of the universe that's been there forever? He was never created. He's been there forever. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit actually wants to move in us. And let's even think of this, actually lives in us. Indwelling, infilling on the inside of us. When we got born again, the Godhead, the Father, came and lives in us. An amazing thing that didn't happen in the Old Testament and part of the New. But it only happened right after Jesus died upon the cross, that we can willingly come before him. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when we declare him the Lord of our Savior, the Savior of our soul, and we declare him God, and we accept him as our Lord and Savior, he actually comes and lives and abides in us. Praise God. And that every day, you know, as we wake up in the morning, he's in us. Every day as we're working, he's in us. Ooh. Every day as we're doing our work and doing whatever we need to do, that he's in us. And then we feel his presence, the Holy Spirit, on the outside of us, moving in us and moving around us. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know how people live without God. I don't know. Miserably, you're right. I don't know how, because we need the presence of God. I want to talk about a man in the Bible, in the Old Testament. The man called Enoch. Enoch. Very, very inspiring man in what God did in his heart and life, and what God did in him and through him. I want you to turn, if you would. You don't have to put the scripture up yet. Just wait. In Genesis chapter 5, but I want you to turn in your Bibles, okay? Genesis chapter 5. When you get there, raise up your Bibles and let's make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. This is life. I will honor it today.
I will honor it today.
As this word,
brings life
to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 5, it gives us a view of the descendants of Adam. And here we see Adam, you know, the first man that God created, Adam. Then he begat Seth. Then he had Enos. Then he had Cainan. Then he had Methuel. Then he had Jared. Then Enoch. And Enoch had Methuselah. And Methuselah had Lamech, and Lamech had Noah. Okay. And I know you kind of think, oh my God. I know. Thank God. Why couldn't it be Joseph, you know, David, you know, these names, you know. But that's just not how it is. But here we see generation after generation, all the way to Noah. Now, from the first Adam, from Adam all the way to Noah, 10? That's 10 generations. Adam, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. From Adam all the way to Noah, that's 10 generations. Basically, if you want to say 10 descendants. From Adam to Noah, 10 descendants, and then destruction came upon the earth. The great deluge, if you want to call it, or the great flood. But here we see in Scripture, from Adam all the way to Enoch, excluding Enoch, it does not give us a record of these men living for God. You might say, well, I mean, Adam walked with God. The cool of the day, God would come. Can you imagine the physical presence of a God coming? Yet, I know it was the Spirit of the Lord, but at the cool of the day, God would come and walk with him and share things with him. And in Scripture, you can read that they did do some sacrifices for a certain amount of time, Adam, but in the end, they stopped. It does not give us a record that they lived for God. It says after every one of these guys that we read about, it says in the end that they died. They died. And he died. Except one. And that was Enoch. And we know kind of that story about Enoch. But Enoch never died physically upon the earth. But Enoch was a great man of God that had great faith in God, that loved God with all his heart. Now, Enoch was the seventh generation. A great number, isn't it? Seven is what number? Perfection, right. That the Spirit of God would come and try to work on a man to bring about the presence of God upon the earth. You see, God can only move to a certain extent that we allow him to move. I know that's kind of like, oh my God, he's the king of the world. But if we don't want him to move in certain areas of our life, or we turn away from God, we stop the presence of God from moving. But God found a man called Enoch that wanted him to move upon the earth. And God called this man a great man, one that believed him, one that wanted to see him move in his life, that believed God. And what God is looking for in this generation is a generation of men and women, boys and girls that will believe him. His promises, we were singing about the promises in one of the songs. The promises of God, what God said he promised to his people, that he's waiting for a people that will raise up and say, I believe. I believe it's possible. I believe it's possible for the sick to be healed today. Today. I believe it's possible that people can still be filled with the Holy Spirit as far as speaking in tongues. I believe still that people can be saved and know God. I believe that God can do mighty things. God is looking for a people that will believe him. That when we sit down to pray, or we kneel to pray, or wherever we pray, that when we go to him, we know we're talking to a God that can move. We know we're talking to a God that can bring about the promises that he's promised unto us. You know, how many things has God spoken to you individually about? Do you still believe he can answer that prayer? Do you still believe that even when the waters rise up and the flood waters come and things may not look good, that it's still possible? You know, the scripture in Hebrews 11 says, with God, all things are possible. If it's according to what? God's will. And that's the part we kind of leave out sometimes. According to his will. Because not everything's according to his will for us. It has to be according to his will for us personally. But to believe God, we got to believe him. That what he said he would do, he will do. You know, you look at the church world, and let me tell you. The church world has come to a place, talking about the whole body of Christ. I'm not talking about the world, the body of Christ. There's a lot of people who don't even believe he's coming. And he said he's going to split those eastern skies. And the devil has lulled the church asleep to think, oh, we've heard about it for so many years. And that's the truth. Yeah. That we don't have to believe. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But we need to look. He's coming for his people. He said in scripture that he's going to split those eastern skies one day. And he's going to come and for his people. And we'll be with him from that day forward.
Hallelujah.
In heaven, praise God. And when we come back to the earth, and when he sets his foot upon that Mount Olivet, my God, and rules and reign. And let me tell you, we're going to rule and reign upon this earth. There's a lot of things we're going to be doing. We'll be sitting down. There's no welfare system in the kingdom of God. God says tithe. God says give. And when we do those things, he brings about the abundance of his spirit upon our hearts and upon our lives. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, there's nothing wrong with the welfare system. But we should never abuse it. And that's the problem. Don't abuse it. Don't abuse it. But Enoch was a great man of God, and he believed God. And God worked upon his heart and life. And let me tell you, look at these scriptures. Look at these scriptures. It says in Genesis chapter 5, look at starting with verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 300 years. And 65 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, and I know, you know, you're saying 365 years. That's not a mistake in the Bible. God doesn't make mistakes in his word. That's actual years that he lived. I know you're thinking, oh my God, can you imagine? If you and your spouse had a child at 65, oh my God, we'd kill them. We'd kill the kid. No. At 65 years of age, they had a son called Methuselah, 65. And it says after that, he lived 300 years. But in that time, after he lived 65 years and had this son. Something happened to Enoch. I don't know. There was a heart change. And from that time forward, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he started to be used by God like never before. Praise God. And God started to move in his heart and life like never before. And God gave him two revelations of things that would happen. Number one, he tells him about the flood. He tells him about the flood that would come. That's an amazing thing. You might say, well, how do you know that? Methuselah means a deluge will come when he dies. Now, a deluge is the flood of Noah. Now, here God gives his son at 65. He lives to be 365 years of age. Methuselah, his son, lives to be 969 years of age. Almost 1,000. You might say, well, why people don't live that long anymore? Because of the sin nature. See, God wanted us to live forever. We were never supposed to die physically because of the Spirit of God that was upon us. And because of the progression of time, from the time the world was created, Adam and Eve, the sin nature that happened, that was brought in us because of disobedience of Adam and Eve, that progression of death has taken its toll upon the human body. You know, I know I've often said the scientists look at our bodies and we should live forever the way it has been put together. Well, God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. And so because of the progression of time, we've come now to the average age of living to be 70 or 80 years of age. Between that, some live to be 100, some a little less, but seven, men and women about 70-something years of age. But here we see Enoch lived 365 years. Get this. His son lived to be 969 years. Noah lived 950 years. Lamech, between all these, lived to be 802 years. A lot of time. But can you imagine the revelation that God gave to Enoch was that the flood was coming. And people, God is telling us he's coming again. Don't give up. It never says that Methuselah lived for God. Can you imagine? Enoch, a great man of God. It does not say that he lived for God. He didn't make sacrifices. He didn't do what was supposed to be done. And in the midst of that time, after Methuselah was born, Enoch was 65. He lived another 300 years. Noah was born about 100 years after Enoch. And Noah lived to be 950. So in that middle of time, here we see Enoch kept telling his son, the flood is coming. I know it because it has been revealed to me. It's coming. And his son didn't believe. Now, because of his son living 969 years of age and Noah living 950, they lived at the same time. So as Noah, and this is my point, is building that boat, Enoch's son Methuselah is alive and well. And I know we as parents say a lot of things to our kids and they don't take it sometimes. But he kept preaching to him until he died at 365. But here we see Noah building that boat orchestrated by God. The blueprints by God. He's building that boat. Him and his sons, Shem, Ham, and who? Japheth. Those three guys. Thank you. Helping him and their wives. Helping build that boat. And can you imagine as that boat is being built? It's huge, y'all. Huge. Methuselah would pass by and say, hey, how y'all doing? His father's dead. But he's named after that flood. The deluge will come when he dies. And people, you might say, is that the reason God let him live so long? I think so. The mercy of God. The mercy of God upon the people. Because we know when the door was closed, who was in that boat? People-wise, all the animals, okay. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and who else? His three wives, their three wives. Eight people were in that boat. Where was Methuselah? Where was... You know, no one else, but he heard. He heard. And it says that when Methuselah died, not long after that, the flood came. God waited almost 1,000 years because of his love for the people. That's why we keep hearing, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And the church and even the world is mocking God. He'll never come. What they're saying is, there's no God. And we know different because he lives in us. And when Methuselah died, not long after that, it says that the waters erupted from the ground, from the inside of the earth, the heavens will open, and a rain that was so hard flooded the earth so quick, destroyed all humanity and every other living thing that was upon the earth. See, God keeps his promises. 969 years before that, he promised when Methuselah would die that it would come. And let me tell you, we can mark God's word. When he tells us something, it will happen. It's not maybe so, maybe not, maybe so, come see, come so, 50-50%. No. It's 100%. When God says something, he keeps his word. And when this man died, the son of Enoch, it not long after that, the floods came. The boat was being built as he was alive and well. But when he died, it came about. God keeps his word, people. God keeps his word. God keeps his word. The devil will try to tell you God doesn't, that God doesn't keep his word. Yes, he does. What he said he will do for you, he will do it no matter what. No matter what. And also it says that Enoch, we know Enoch. Did Enoch die a physical death? No. Who else didn't die a physical death? Elijah. Good job. My God. You get an A+. Everybody else too. Because I know it's all in your minds. Elijah and Enoch were the two guys that have never had a physical death. And in Revelations chapter 11, these are the two guys that will be the witnesses. You know the two witnesses that come back at the great tribulation. It says in 1 Thessalonians that when the trumpet blows, Michael the archangel blows that trumpet, the trump of God shall sound. It says that Jesus will come and he will not set his foot on the earth at all. And he will take the dead in Christ will rise up first. Then we which are alive and remaining will be caught up with him and we will go what? To heaven. After that, it doesn't say immediately, but it could be, there will be 7 years of tribulation that will, this is the great tribulation. All this stuff that's happening now, that's not tribulation, people. It's tribulation if it's happening to us. Personally, that's tribulation. But the great tribulation, that's not it today. That's not it. My God, read the scripture, you'll see. But in the middle of that 7-year tribulation, because it happens for 7 years, in the middle of that tribulation, Elijah and Enoch, the two that have never died a physical death, will come back to Jerusalem and they will prophesy for 3.5 years in sackcloth. They will prophesy repentance. They will prophesy about Jesus. They will prophesy about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Repentance for 3.5 years. You might say, well, why will they do that? Because God in his infinite mercy is calling the Israelites, is calling the Gentiles back to him, no matter even in the midst of the great tribulation, which we will not be here for. Because of the rapture or the resurrection of the church that is taken out at that time, before that, the 7 years before that. And for that, at the middle of 3.5, those two guys come and they're preaching repentance. They're prophesying for 3.5 years in Jerusalem. And at the end of the 3.5 years, as the television, you know, something can happen in Timbuktu and we'll know about it a minute later. That's the truth now with technology. After that 3.5 years, it says, because during the 3.5 years, they're going to try to kill these two witnesses because they're preaching the gospel to them. They're preaching the gospel. It's actual two men that have never died that are not angels. Angels can't preach the gospel. That's humans. People, God knows that. We give the message out. These two guys are sending forth the message that Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus came back for you. Repent. Turn to him. Repent. You know what? They're kind of like John the Baptist. And after that 3.5 years, it says the Spirit of the Lord is laid off of them, and they go and they kill them. You might say, well, why did God let that happen? He knows what he's doing. And they lay in the street for 3.5 days. And people walk by and make fun of them. Yeah, look at your God. Look what he's done for you. But they don't realize that Jesus, something's about to happen. And after about 3.5 days, it says the Spirit of God comes back upon these three men, those two men, and they rise up. Can you imagine as the video, ABC, CNN, Clinton News Network, MSNBC, Fox News, all these people are just filming it. And all of a sudden, after 3.5 days, they have been killed, that the Spirit of God comes back upon them. This is Enoch, people, a great man of God. They rise up. What you think's going to happen as the Spirit of God comes back upon these men? People, that's your God. That's your God. So all these little things in the world today, that's peons to him. The promises he gives you, he can do it. He raises those two men back to life and takes them back with him. My God. And the world sees this happening. Praise God. Enoch, a great man of God. Actually, these two guys have never died, so they have lived on forever and ever and ever. More than 969 years of age. The great power of our God, as God moves in and changes things, we can rely upon our God, people. We can rely upon his promises. We can rely upon what he said he would do. He said the great deluge of the flood would come, and it came. It talks in Thessalonians that he's coming back for his people. He's coming back for his people. He's coming back for his people. We got to get the word out that he's coming back. We got to keep preaching the gospel. Keep telling people about Jesus. Because we don't want any of our families left. You might say, well, they won't listen. Well, let me tell you, get on your knees and start praying for them. Fight the battle in prayer. And let me tell you, things will get a whole lot smoother. Because you see, it's the enemy that has blinded them from the truth of the gospel, trying to keep them back so that they don't give their lives to the Lord, so that they open or break hell wide open. And we don't want to see that. We're going to declare the praises of our God. We're going to declare who God is. God used this man, and God wants to use you. You might say, well, I'm nothing. Yes, you are something. God gave his life for you. You are worth the blood of Jesus. You are very valuable to God. Let your mouth be used as a mouthpiece for his glory and his honor. Giving praise and glory and honor to him and sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel to people. The devil wants us to keep quiet, but we're not keeping quiet. We're going to share the gospel. People may not want to hear it. But they don't realize that we're the ones putting up the yield signs. We're the ones putting up the stop signs, saying, don't go there anymore. Don't go that way. Because you see, as we pray, we stop the activity of the enemy upon people's lives. We stop it. We don't just nullify it a little bit. We stop its effect upon people in the world. As we pray and seek the face of God, asking God to move. Because you see, the promises of God are yes and amen. It's not yes and maybe so. It's yes and amen. You need a financial blessing, God can bless you. You need a physical healing, God can do it. You need direction from God, God can do it. You need strength in your body, God can do it. You need a job, God can give you a job where there's no jobs. That's just the kind of God we serve. He keeps his promises and used Enoch. All Enoch did, I mean, God could have used Adam like that if he wanted to. God could have used Lamech if he wanted to like that. God could have used all these men, but God chose Enoch because Enoch chose God and said, I will serve you with all of my heart. He walked with God. He gave his life to the Lord, and God used him mightily. Can you imagine when Enoch gave his life to the Lord after 65 years of age, and maybe a little bit more, that he never thought that one day he would be used as a great witness to share the gospel, like in the end days, during the Great Tribulation. My God. See, we don't realize what God wants to do in us. We don't realize how God wants to use us. You know, we often look at today and, well, how God is using us today, but we don't realize how God may want to use us next year or 5 years from now or 10 years from now. Praise God. We don't realize what God wants to do, how he's preparing us today, that we are in the school of our Father, the Holy Spirit, him teaching us how to pray, him teaching us how to listen to him, him teaching us how to obey the Spirit of the Lord. Him teaching us the Word of God and getting that deep within us so that we're not swayed with every single doctrine that comes down from the pit of hell that tries to infiltrate the church. Because you see, it only takes a little bit of wrong. And as we stay on that little bit of wrong, we go in the wrong direction little by little. And all of a sudden we turn around and the bullseye's here. And we're off way over here. All it takes is one little wrong. You might say, how do you keep on track? You pray, you seek God, and you read his word. And you say, Lord, show me. Show me the truth of the gospel. Keep me on track, Lord. Help me to do your will, Father. Help me to do what you've called me to do. And you never know where we will be next month, next year, in our walk with God. Because you see, God is interested in our walk with him, our hearts. He's interested in who we are on the inside, healing us and changing us and making us into the men and women that God has called us to be. You know, God does not want us to live a life that is fearful. Now, we should have wisdom on where we can go and not go. I mean, you know. But he doesn't want us to wake up so fearful that it stifles us and destroys us from the inside. He wants us to have a life that is full of abundance. A life that is full of his power and his presence. Oh, magnify the Lord. My God. The presence of our God in who he is. And what he can do. You know, we sang that song, I mean, you know, many, but how great is our God to bring deliverance to us. How great is our God that he gives us power to overcome sin and evil. How great is our God that he brings healing to our bodies. How great is he when we thought all hope was gone. And all of a sudden, we wake up the next morning and there's a life on the inside of us. There's hope again. Praise God. Because you see, we don't look to the world. We look to God in who he is and what he can do. My God. Can you imagine as those eight walked into that boat? And all of a sudden, they see these animals just coming on in. My God. They just come in. Two by two, some seven by seven. And they have to know this is God. They didn't call them in. They just started walking in that boat. Because the Spirit of God went, got them and said, come on in. the power of God. And that door closes. And they're in there, and all of a sudden the water comes. The rain is so violent that it cuts to the core of rocks upon the earth. And now we have the Grand Canyon. We have all that. So that didn't take millions of years, people. That didn't take that long. Not with the mighty rush of water from the bottom of the earth coming like a deluge coming up. The fountains were open, and the deluge of water from the top, it didn't take long to cut through the earth. That's how mighty is our God. That He can do such great things for us. People, we need to keep our faith in Him and believe Him. Just believe. Saying, Lord, I believe. And Lord, help my unbelief. Because I've had to pray that. Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to believe, Lord, your word and what you said you would do. What you said you would do. Enoch was a man that believed God. And look what God did. The mighty power of our God that was exhibited through his life. And what God did through him. Praise God. You may stand, please. Jesus. Father, we give you praise and honor, Lord. As every head is bowed for just a minute, if you don't mind. Amen. Amen. If you don't know Jesus this morning and you would like to give your life to him, or maybe you do know him and you need to make a recommitment to him, would you please raise your hand so I can see? Just wait a minute or so. Is there anyone? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. You may look this way. As far as I can see, everybody's doing good. Amen. Live for God, people. Live for God like never before. We appreciate you. We thank God for you, Jelaine and I, and we love you. And we pray you have a great week. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for your people. Use them mightily for your kingdom. Father, I pray the ones that need more work on their work, give it to them in Jesus' name. Open up the windows of heaven for them. Father, the ones that need direction, give them direction. The ones that need help in any way, Lord God, help them. Father, I pray this week that you will help them to accomplish your will upon their lives this day. Help them to do your will, Father. Lord God, I thank you for them and what you're doing in their hearts and in their lives. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.